I always say this, but it's because it's how I feel and what I believe. It's always such a joy and a privilege to preach the Word of God. That's what we're here to do together today, is to worship the one true God, to acknowledge who He is, even as we just sang, to glorify Thy name in all the earth. That's our hope. That's our mission as a church, as individuals, as people who are saved by God, touched by His love and grace. Now we can glorify His name with our lives. And our hope is that as we live our lives out, as we try to glorify God with our own lives, that other lives will be touched, that our neighbors, our friends, our classmates, our co-workers, that people would catch a sense of something different about us. Not because we are so great, because we serve a great God. Amen? That's the truth of our God. Now today we're going to talk about a topic that some pastors don't really like to talk about very much. They try to stay away from it. They try to talk just about the happy things and the love of God and the grace of God. But you cannot understand God's grace or His love without first knowing something about the topic today. And the topic we're going to talk about today is sin. The topic of sin. And the passages that we're going to look at today are written by the Apostle Paul in his letters to the Roman church. Now, if you've ever read through the book of Romans, there is so much theology, so much that we can learn that are important to understanding our salvation, that are important to understanding what it means that we have been saved by grace, but what it cost. What it cost God as He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that we might be saved from this thing we call sin. So what is sin? Does it exist? What do we need to know about it? How does it affect us as believers of Jesus Christ? And while in one short sermon, we can't cover every aspect of this topic of sin, I hope that as we are here together, getting into the Word of God, we will have a deeper understanding. We will have a deeper, not just knowledge, but a real way to wrestle with it in our hearts. And then to go to the Lord again and again. So we're going to look at Romans. We're going to look at a couple of different verses in the book of Romans. We're going to first look at Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And this is what the Word of God says. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. This is what the Word of God says. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. Now we're jumping to Romans chapter 5, verse 17 to 18. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank You for this truth. We thank You for this truth. You have given it to us as Your people so that we might not only learn, but live as those who You have called. So God, would You be with every person here? Grant everyone here, myself included, grant us humility to have open hearts to listen, to learn, to depend on you as we live out our Christian faith. We thank you for this time. May you be glorified in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A famous person once said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." Now, if that sounds familiar to you, it's because the famous person that said that is Jesus Christ. Now, the interesting thing about some of the things that Jesus says is it seems very simple. Who here agrees that the sick are the ones who need a doctor? Right, let me see a show of hands, okay? We all know that sick are the ones who need a doctor. So why did Jesus say these words? We have to remember always the importance of context. When Jesus says these words, that it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick, it comes from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 5, verse 30. He says this to the Pharisees. And what he says to them is very simple and true, yet it is also profound. You see, he was talking to the Pharisees because the Pharisees believed that they were not sick. You see, the Pharisees were so good about taking care of the outside, how they acted, doing all the right things, making sure people knew that they prayed, making sure that people knew that they fasted, making sure that people knew that they obeyed all of God's commands. But when Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick," he was actually making a point to the Pharisees. You see, the Pharisees thought that all these other people were more sinful than them. They were sinners. But the Pharisees thought, "We are the righteous. We obey the rules. We obey the laws. Those are the sinners." And so when Jesus was saying, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick," there was two meanings. He was saying, "I'm here to save and to heal those who need healing." But he was also saying something to the Pharisees that they didn't understand. He was also saying, "You are sick, but you don't know that you are sick." And I started thinking about that. It's the sick who need a doctor. The problem was the Pharisees, they couldn't see their own need for healing. They thought that they were okay because they were doing all the right things, following all the laws and commandments. So they couldn't see the inside of their own sickness. It's similar. If someone has cancer or some other sickness or ailment, if they don't believe that they have it, then they might never step foot in the doctor's office. But the Bible tells us, as in the passages that we read, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, all fall short of the glory of God. That means without exception. That means every single one of us here today actually have a sickness. I'm sorry to tell you that, even those who are really healthy physically, every single one of us has a spiritual sickness. And that's what we call sin. Everyone here has a sin problem. And we can see it as we look out in the world. All the evil things and horrible things that are happening all around us. But sometimes we start thinking that sin is an outside problem. But I believe God is challenging each of us here, whether we are believers of Jesus Christ or we're here to learn more about Jesus because we're not yet believers. There's something that we need to tackle, that we need to think about, reflect on, and learn about when it comes to sin. And I pray that as we look at these passages together, that as we see the sin problem, we will also be so clear of what the sin solution is as well. So let's go ahead and take a look at a couple of things that I want to talk about. We're going to talk about those two things today, the sin problem and the sin solution. Now, you may have heard some people say these words, that death is the great equalizer, that death is the great equalizer. And what does that mean, that death is the great equalizer? It means that death, whether you are rich or poor, whether you are strong or weak, whether you are ridiculously good-looking or very ugly, death treats you the same. Death is the great equalizer. It does not discriminate. It comes for everyone. You may have also heard when talking about death that death is kind of a normal part of life. You know, some people say, well, you can't have life without death. It's just how the world was made. It's just how the world functions. You live and then you die. But I'm here to tell you that when we read the pages of Scripture, that death was never meant to be a part of our lives. Death, sickness, was never in the design that God had for us as His people, as human beings, as humanity in His creation. No, we know that death came as a result of sin that entered into the world. You see, when God created the first man and woman, when He created Adam and Eve, and yes, they were two people in history, God said, "This is very good." You see, Adam and Eve, humanity was meant to live in right relationship with God in paradise for all the days of their lives. So death was not supposed to be a part of our lives. So we should grieve when there is death around us. We should mourn because this is not how our lives were meant to be. But sin, this great problem that the world has, it came into humanity. And how? Again, read Romans chapter 3, verse 23. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That means there is no exception. Every single person in this world who's born into this world is marked by sin. And so how did this happen? How did sin come into the world? Romans chapter 5, verse 12 tells us this. "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." So who is this one man? Who is this one man that we can look to and say, "Hey, it's your fault"? We remember back to the beginning in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3 is where we find the first act of rebellion against God. We remember that God had set before Adam and Eve all of the garden and said, "You can eat from any fruit on any tree in this garden except for one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And we know that Eve was tempted and tricked by Satan to eat of this fruit. It was the one tree that God had prohibited them from eating. And Adam, who was with her, he was not leading her well, nor did he stop her. And when she offered him a bite of the forbidden fruit, he did not deny it. Instead, he took of it and ate. And with that bite of that forbidden fruit, humanity entered into rebellion against God. Something happened, something real, something deep inside of them. The relationship that they had with God was changed forever. Where they once walked with God in the garden, now there was broken relationship. Remember what they did? They realized that they were naked. They covered themselves in shame for the first time, understanding what guilt and shame is. You see, that's what sin does. When sin entered into the world, it altered the relationship that we were to have with God. And through Adam, the one man, his disobedience, now all of his descendants, all of humankind was born into sin. Now, I know some of us might think, well, that's not fair. Maybe if I was there, I could have done better. I would have been, hey, Eve, let's get out of here, right? Stay away from that snake. He looks weird anyway. But we have to remember when God created Adam and Eve, they didn't have sinful nature. They had human nature, but they didn't yet have sin. So they were the best chance. Adam was the best chance that we had. But now we are born, each one of us, with sin in our hearts. You know, why is this so important for us to know as believers? Why is this so important for us to know as Christians? Sometimes, even as Christians, we still want to believe in the good in people. I'm not saying let's all think everyone is bad and be pessimistic. Oh, no one's really good. I'm not saying that, but that's the truth. No one is actually really good just in who they are. And why do I say that? Because the Bible says that. The Bible teaches us about this sin problem. You know, people think sometimes that when you're born a baby, you have a chance to be good, but then the evil world comes and corrupts you and changes you so that you become a sinful person. But the Bible teaches us that sin is not an outside force that forces something upon us. Rather, sin is something that is deeply rooted in each and every person. And the environment and circumstances are simply pressures that make what's already inside come out. You see, we are not sinners because we sin. Did you hear that? We are not sinners because we sin. We are sinners because we already have sin within us. We sin because we are sinners. And so that is the reality of this broken world. That is the reality that every single person is born into. Somehow, some way, when Adam rebelled against God, it changed the very fabric of humanity. It altered something. It was a real change. It changed our relationship with God, but it changed the very essence of who we are as human beings. And we talked about death. Through one man's sin, death also entered. And so now all of us here, I'm sure we've been touched by death in some way, whether it's a friend who died too soon, a parent, a loved one, maybe even now someone who is sick physically, and we see how sin has affected our lives in a way that was never meant to be. But the reality is that this death is not just a physical death. Yes, it is a physical death, but it is also talking about a spiritual death, a forever separation from God, a forever altered relationship with God, one that we could never have again with Him. But we're going to talk about the sin solution in just a little bit. Where God made it possible for people who were broken and lost in sin to reconcile and be in a right relationship with God again. But let's stay here right now, the sin problem. If we had sin simply because of our outward actions, then the solution that we could have is simply to say, well, I just have to work on doing more good outward actions. Then I'll have less sin because I'm doing more good. And in fact, that's how many religions teach about bad things and good things. They think about it like on a scale. If I do enough good things, then I'm not being sinful. If I do too many bad things, then, well, I'm being a sinner or I'm being bad. And so it teaches us the more good that you do, the more chance that you have to have a solution for this bad or this negative thing that's inside of my heart. But the Christian faith reminds us that we simply cannot cure ourselves. We don't have the power to solve this sin problem. Because it's not just outward actions. It's something, again, deeply rooted in our hearts. And guess what? There's only one person who can get to the inside, that can deal with sin at the core of who we are. And we know that that is the Creator. That's God Himself. And it's only through Him that we could find a solution. It's not about outward actions. It's not about looking good to other people. It's about what's in your heart. That's where the sin problem lies. And you know what? Every single person has this problem. Now, maybe some of us, we believe that we are good people. We go to church. We open the door for people. We resist in showing our anger. We try to avoid conflict. We do nice things for people. We try to be as kind as we can. We give. We serve. We do all these things. And maybe for some of us, we've kind of fooled ourselves into thinking, it's because I do all these things, I'm actually a good person. But God calls us to see the truth, that no amount of good things that you do outwardly can solve the problem that's in here. Only God can deal with the things that are in your heart. So I want to ask you, do you acknowledge that there is a sin problem in this world? But more importantly, do you acknowledge that there is a sin problem in your heart? There's no other cure but the sin solution that we're going to talk about next. Let's talk about the sin solution. The sin solution. So we've learned that all humanity has a sin problem, and it is a problem that most certainly makes this death, both physical and spiritual, the only outcome. If you have this sin problem, it will lead to death, period. So what's the solution? What's the cure? What's the remedy? And I said before that most religions will teach that if you live in such and such a way, if you commit your life to a life of good and denying yourself perhaps, and not living for material things, but the spiritual things, that somehow you can save yourself by your actions. That's what most religions will teach. You weigh out the wrong, you weigh out the good. If you've done more good in your life, then you're good, you're okay. But again, our Christian faith, the Word of God, reminds us that there is only one sin solution. There's only one cure to the problem of sin. And I believe that God is saying, don't depend. Don't fool yourselves into thinking that your actions can save you. You can't. They fall short. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 17 to 18, let's look at that again. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man. We talked about that. Adam's sin, rebellion. So now into all of humanity, there is this sin that's in our hearts. But then death reigned because of that. But then it says, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. And there is the sin solution. The answer to our problem. The cure for the sickness of sin. Verse 18. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, we are separated from God apart from Christ. We cannot have a right relationship with God apart from Christ. This is what it says. So one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. You see, because sin leads to death, now we see that there is a solution that leads to life. Restoration. So through one man, Adam, sin, condemnation entered into this world. We are all affected by it. Not one person is exempt. But through one man, Jesus Christ, now you can have salvation and life. This is how it was supposed to be. We were meant to have lives not filled with despair and pain and disease and death. We were meant to have life to the full with joy and happiness and love with God the Father. And so Jesus is restoring things to how they were meant to be. What an awesome thing. You know, when we think of solutions to problems in our lives, we often think, well, I can solve it. I can take care of this problem. And nowadays, there's a lot of information. So, you know, if you need to figure something out, you can just go on YouTube and just type it up. How do I change my oil? Oh, this is a problem. Okay, I'm just going to go on YouTube, type it up. And they have people, many videos showing you how exactly to change your oil. You know, there's so many amazing, okay, that's not such an amazing thing, but there's so many things that you can do and find information on how to solve different problems. So many things. But the reality here is that we are not supposed to be the ones to figure it out and then do it. Christian faith, it's very strange to us. We who believe in hard work and achievement, it's so very strange to us that God would say the solution is not that you work hard so that you can get rid of sin. The solution is to trust fully that someone else has already done it for you. Do you hear that? Christian faith is not you become a better Christian so that you have less sin. You do more good things. Make sure you do all the right things. Go to church, read the Bible, pray so that you'll have less sin. That is not what God says. God says, trust that there is someone, this one man, Jesus Christ, who lived the life that you could not live. Because he obeyed God every single moment of every single day. And then he gave his life upon the cross for you and me. God is saying, don't depend on your actions, your outward doing. Depend on what Christ has done. That is the solution. The solution is not found in you. The solution is only found in Christ Jesus. And so where death reigned in us, now for those who believe in Jesus, there is this grace and the free gift of righteousness and life everlasting. So the solution is not in something that we can find in humanity ourselves. No, it is the grace of God. And again, I preach the grace of God every sermon. Why? Because within the grace of God, we find the truth. Why is it that it is only by grace that we are saved? You know, sometimes we don't want it to be so easy. We hear grace and we judge other people. It's like, oh, that person has to work a little harder if he wants to be saved. Oh, that person, he's saying he's a Christian. She says she's a Christian. Oh, they need to work a little bit harder before I can believe that they're saved. And why do we do that? It's because we fail to understand what grace is. Receiving grace doesn't mean that you are automatically perfect. It doesn't mean that you're automatically perfect. No. But the perfect one, Jesus Christ, the solution to our sins, he was perfect and he took our place upon the cross. The condemnation that we were under, he took it upon himself. That's an amazing thing. And I hope and pray that we remember that. Now, one more thing that I want to mention is how important it is that we remember Jesus Christ came into the world. God himself, the Word become flesh, came into the world, but he was fully God and fully man. But he was not born into the sinful line of Adam. And what I mean by that is we believe that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, and we believe that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So it was not a man's child, but in fact, God's child, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Now that's important because he, unlike Adam, represented us and obeyed God, even to death upon a cross. You see, that's why Jesus Christ alone can be our sin solution. Because he was the perfect man, being fully God, but being fully man. And we talked in the English congregation about the temptation that he faced. He faced all the realities of humanity, but never gave in to sin. That's why he's the perfect sacrifice. That's why he's the perfect solution to sin. So when he was born into this world, he was not born with sinful nature like us, because he's conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. So Christ, the only solution to our sin. If you're not a believer of Jesus Christ, I hope you hear those words. Maybe you've been coming to church and you've been thinking about Jesus and you've been thinking about, you know, what does it mean to accept and embrace the Christian faith? Well, I'm telling you right now, it's not about becoming a better person. It's not about perfecting yourself. It's not about raising yourself to some level of holiness. That's not what Christian faith is. If you're not a believer of Jesus Christ, let me tell you right now, it's about a relationship with God. And the only way we can have a relationship with God is through his Son, Jesus Christ. And when you become a believer of Jesus Christ, when you repent of your sins, when you say, I know that I have a sin problem now. I see that I am sick and I am in need. Jesus, would you be my solution? Would you be my healer? Would you be my doctor? I need you. I need a cure for this sin problem. When you call out to Christ and believe that he has the ability and has done what is necessary through his death on the cross and in his resurrection, then you become a child of his. That solution becomes yours, and then you have again the relationship with God that was always meant for you from the very beginning. And so death no longer will reign over your life. Sure, you may still experience physical death, but as it says in John chapter 3, verse 16, a verse that many of us have read many, many times, that those who believe in Christ will not perish. They will not stand condemned. What will happen? They will have eternal life. That's what we were always meant to have. So praise God for this sin solution as we get ready for Easter that's just coming up in a couple of weeks. That's the excitement that we look forward to. That every single one of us here, if you're not a believer, I pray that you will repent of your sins and turn to Christ and believe. If you are already a believer, wake up. Be joyful. Remember the solution that was given for you by an amazing act of grace through his Son, Jesus Christ. And when we have this cure, this solution, don't keep it to yourself. I imagine if I had the cure for cancer. You know, I've shared before, my father died of cancer when he was only 48 years old. He was 48 when he passed away. And there's children with cancer who pass away far, far too early on in life. That's not how things were meant to be. That's what sin brought into this world. But the solution, Jesus Christ. Imagine if I found a cure for cancer, I would tell everyone. I would tell every doctor, every friend, every person who is affected, so that they might be able to be cured of this disease, this foul thing that should not have ever been? Do we see the sin solution in that way? It is the cure. Jesus is the cure, the only cure for the disease, for the sickness of our sins. So Christians, if you are a believer of Jesus Christ, wake up! Live your life in such a way where you're telling others about this amazing cure, the solution to the sin problem, Jesus Christ. It's only Him. It's not live a better life or your best life now. It's Christ in each and every day, remembering the grace that He gives. And out of that grace, now you can live freely for the Lord. As a church, let's remember that the sin solution, you're hearing about Jesus every week. That's for a reason. If you start getting sick of hearing about Jesus and the gospel, I need to pray more for your heart. Remind yourselves again and again and again. Jesus Christ is the only way. He's the only cure. And He gives Himself freely for you and me. Let's pray together. Just take one moment to pray. Respond to this good word of God. Do you acknowledge that you have a sin problem in your life? If you're not a believer of Jesus Christ, right now, if you acknowledge that you have a sin problem, you can go to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to believe. I believe that You gave Your life for me upon the cross, and that You rose again, defeating death, defeating sin, so that I could have a life, eternal life with You. And you'll be saved. All you have to do is place your faith in the only solution, Jesus Christ. Many of us here are already professing believers of Jesus Christ. I ask that you pray right now. Ask God to remind you again and again that it was Christ who saved you, not your own works, not your level of holiness, not your learnedness or your knowledge, but it is by grace through faith that you were saved. And ask God to remind you of that. Would you ask Him to give you a boldness in your life so that many more people can learn about the solution that is in Christ, so that many more people will be cured of the sickness of sin? Would you do that? Would you be a part of it? It doesn't matter how young or how old you are. There's always opportunity to share the sin solution, Jesus Christ, with others. Just pray, just for a moment, and then I'll close this time in prayer. Lord, open our eyes. Open our spiritual eyes to see You. Open up our spiritual eyes to look within our own hearts and to see our need for You each and every day. Even for those of us who have already been saved and washed of our sins by Jesus, we still need Jesus. We still need You each and every day. So empower us, encourage us. God, there are some of us here who have accepted You but have fallen back into the thinking that the more that we do is the more Christian that we are. But God, I pray that You would remind every believer That as we know more of who you are, that is all we need to know to be a Christian. So may every outward action reflect a true inward understanding of the solution to sin, Jesus Christ. May we be a church that does do more outwardly, but not so that we could say we are being good or that we are being Christian, but because there is a love and a grace that is truly flowing in and through us, the eternal life that you saved us to. So move in our hearts, in our church, we pray. And I just once again lift up a prayer for those of us here who are not yet believers of Jesus Christ. God, only you can change a heart. So I pray that through every message, through every talk with a Christian believer, that you will be softening the soil to take your word deeply in. And may we be a church that takes the solution to the ends of the earth, that you be glorified, not only in our hearts, in our families, in our church, but truly to the ends of the earth, to the world. We thank you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.